Wrote on the board, emotions, feelings, and our will. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me about some things this morning, or this week. And just want to ask the Lord to bless our time here and make our time precious before the Lord, that we can be encouraged and that our lives can become solid for the Lord. And that we can understand the ways of the Lord. I believe the Lord himself has given us so much for examples in his short 3-year span that we have so much written about his life here. I want to start in Matthew 26 and 38 and read a few verses here. That's Matthew 26, verse 38. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. You know, I want to just stop there, and we'll read some more here in a few minutes. But I want to think a little bit about this scenario. The Lord had so many times been so victorious, and he was victorious here, but he had done all kinds, God had been amazingly with him in all kinds of ways and places and healings, and he said, peace be still, and the waters just quit, and the people were just amazed beyond measure, it says, and this was his life. The Lord had the Spirit of God was upon him and in him, and he was God himself in the Son. And I think about all of that, and then I think about this little place here and different times that we read about. He had temptations, and we see that he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. And so his emotions here was dipping pretty low. And it says he sweat as it were great drops of blood. And so he was under some kind of real intense situation here. We know this is the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he was offered on the cross, he knew what was coming. He felt the weight of the sins of the world. He felt the weight of all that was coming, of paying the penalty of sin. He felt the weight of what he was fixing to endure in his flesh. He felt all those things. He knew what he was fixing to go through. He knew the scriptures. And besides, he knew. He knew he was fixing to get crucified. I don't know about you, but that alone, without all the beating and the crown of thorns and all those things, that would be enough to kind of unnerve a person a little bit if they knew what was coming the next day, wouldn't they? Wouldn't it? Or that in a few hours. And here was Jesus, and he said, my soul is exceeding sorrowful even unto death. And I want to finish that here in a minute, but I want to think about another person that was a rich young ruler. And he wanted to do God's will. And he came to the Lord, and he said, what, Master, how does it say it? What shall I do to inherit eternal life? And you know, the Lord told him to keep the commandments and all of those things. And he said, well, I've done all these things from my youth up. And, you know, Jesus looked at him, and it says, when Jesus heard these things, this is in Luke 18, he said, yet lackest thou one thing, sell all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You know, the weight of what was hitting him, the weight of what the Lord was asking of him was hitting him. And his emotions really dipped low right there. And all his life he had wanted to serve God. But now he came to another place. And here God was asking something of him, just like God was asking of Jesus to present himself on the cross for our sins. And we see that he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And you know what he did? He just got up, he just went away. He couldn't bear that. He wouldn't bear that. But I want to look at the difference between what Jesus did and what this rich young ruler did. They both were very sorrowful. Jesus much more so than this rich young ruler. He wanted to do right. He wanted to pay the price. But folks, there's something deeper than what we want. And that is our will. This young man had a will. And that will was that he loved something more than he loved God. And he kept that. And he went away. Now, he was sorrowful because he wanted to serve the Lord. But I want to look at Jesus' situation here, back in Matthew, the 26th chapter. It says here that he was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death, and he said, "Tarry ye here and watch with me." And he went a little farther and fell on his face, this is verse 39, and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Do you know this morning, if we want to make it to heaven, folks, we're going to have to deal with our will. Because we are the keeper of our will. No one else will make us do it. God will not make us do it. He will not make us serve him. But Jesus, here in the garden, he went away and he saw the price he had to pay. And he knew that's what God was calling for. He knew that was the sacrifice that he had to give for the sins of the world. And you know, he grappled with that. Not that he didn't want to do it. Well, he said, "Father, if this, you know, how did he say it? If some way this can be changed, let it be, but nevertheless, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." And you know, he did something right there. He submitted his will. He went to God and began to pray. And it says he prayed three times the same thing. And he began to ask God for mercy and help. Lord, he began to ask him. And we see three times he did that. And one scripture says that an angel came, or angels came, and ministered unto him. Do you know this morning, if we want to submit our will and we really want to go to heaven, no, we may not be able to just ironclad do it. But I'll tell you what, if we get a hold of God like Jesus did, he'll send angels to minister to us if he must. And we can live for him. And we can do whatever he asks us to do. We can do that. We can make it to heaven if we will. But what we have to do as the keeper of our will is go beyond our emotions and our feelings. This young rich ruler, he felt all that coming down on him and he just walked away. I won't do that. But you know what? If he would have stopped and said, "Wait a minute, I want to go to heaven at any cost. I want to go." You know, I believe he could have began to say, "Lord," like the man that wanted to believe said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." I believe he could have said, "I need some strength I don't have. I need something, I can't pay this price without help." And I believe, don't you think, that God would have done something for him and helped him out and given him grace? That's the way it works. But the man loved something more than he loved God. And so this morning, as we look into a number of places in the Word, we want to keep in mind, folks, our emotions, emotions are amazing things. They are so nice to have when you're up on top. But they are your bitterest enemies when you're in the valley low. And we have to realize We have to realize, I want to go to heaven, disregarding how I feel. If I have to sweat great drops of blood and pray before God for grace, you know, He's not only a God of grace and strength, but He's a God of power, isn't He? He not only can forgive sins, He can give us power and grace. But it comes, folks, through us tarrying before the Lord, submitting ourselves as Christ did. Not my will, but Thy will be done. So this morning as we look at these things, I was thinking about another, just mention this rather than read it. But, you know, the prophet Elijah was a man of God. And we see him, how the Lord used him greatly. He's told Ahab, he said, it's not going to rain until I say. That's what he said. Now, he was depending on God to do all of that. But, you know, it didn't rain until he prayed to God again. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. And we find him out there grappling before God. After the Lord had done all these great things before him, fire fell from heaven right in front of him and all these ones. And then they slew all the prophets of Baal. And all of that went on. Amazing things. I would think that would be a pretty amazing day that he had there. And then he went and he told Ahab, you get up to, what was it, Samaria, I believe, and he said, there's a sound of rain coming. Well, there wasn't any rain anywhere. And he went and began to pray and call upon God. And he knelt down and he told his servant, go look toward the sea. He said, I don't see anything. 7 times he did that because he knew God would help him. He knew God would answer his prayer. And you know, he continually kept asking the Lord. And finally the servant said, I see a cloud like a man's hand. And he saw something arising and he said, we've got to get going. I'm paraphrasing. But you know what? He ran to the city of Samaria. And an abundance of rain came. But you know, in about a day, what was it, the next day maybe? Jezebel sent a messenger to him. And she said, if you're not like one of those tomorrow, one of those prophets that were dead, she said, God do so to more to me also, or something on that order. And you know, Elijah was seized with fear. And he jumped up and took off. And God had just been doing all of these things for him. Tell me, how? How did that happen? Why did Elijah do that? Why did he not stop and look toward heaven again and say, Lord, what now? Where do you want me to go now? You told me to go to the brook. I went to the brook. It dried up. And then you told me to go to this widow's place. And I went over there. And I was sustained all that time. And Lord, you've done all of these wonderful things in my life. Folks, I want to tell you, it don't matter how much God does in our lives. We better forever keep on our guard that we ourselves realize we are very human. And when these times come and fear grips or sorrow grips or trouble comes, or things come that are way bigger than we are, or our life is endangered, and somebody that means to kill us threatens our life and has the power to do it, seemingly. Do you know the Lord doesn't want us to fail away in those times? And I know Elijah ran there and he and God sustained him and gave him grace, and the angel gave him to eat, and he went in the strength of that 40 days and 40 nights, I believe. And, you know, we see all of that. God does that. And then the Lord spoke to him and came by there, and there was a whirlwind, or there was a great wind, and the rocks crashed and all of those things, or an earthquake. Anyway, all those things that happened there. And God wasn't in that. But finally, Elijah heard a still small voice. Do you know that it seems to me like that's what Elijah should have been asking for the first day? Now, I might be in this place sometime and I might run for 40 days. I don't know. But you know what? I just think that Elijah could have stopped and said, get a hold of yourself, Elijah. Get a hold of yourself. Have you been forsaken up to this day? No. And are you going to be forsaken now? No. The obvious answer is no. You're not going to be forsaken. And so we see those things. And I believe, folks, what we want to do is remember our will. Submit our will to the Lord. And if we cannot seem to do that, it's too big for us. It's too powerful for us. Then let's fall upon our knees and upon our face. Lord, if we have to pray 3 times, 7 times, 1,000 times, folks, let's pray until the answer comes. Until the Lord gives us what we need to go through that battle and come out on the other side a victor. Come out on the other side doing God's will, submitting ourselves, our will to the Lord. And that's so greatly important. I think about the use of emotions in religion. And you go places and they have emotions much more than we have here in our midst. And music and loud music and all of those things. And folks, I think of that just like that Elijah in that cave. And God wasn't in that. Folks, the Lord deals with our will. Now, you know, we have some really nice emotions lots of times, don't we? And it's really nice to have those wonderful emotions. But you cannot live on emotions. And the emotions and your will are not really connected. Because our will is what we have decided that we're going to do. And we're going to get the grace to do it. And we're going to find God's help in those things. So the Lord help each one of us and encourage our hearts to submit our will to God and follow Him carefully and closely through our life and have a real relationship with the Lord. Our will is to do that. Our will is to spend time with the Lord until He speaks peace to our hearts. Until He says to us, as He did to Jesus, and strengthens Him and says whatever we need, you know, brings the angels to us, whatever He needs to do. I know I've never seen an angel, but I will tell you this. I have felt the presence of the Lord many times, and I felt Him draw near, and I felt His encouraging words. And I've had Him give me scriptures, and I know many of you have had some of those same experiences. This morning, the Lord help us today that we follow Him and that we submit our will to Him. I'm going to look in Exodus 14 and verse 9. I'm going to read a little story here to us. You remember the Egyptians, after the Israelites were freed to go. Was that the end of the story? How did they get across the Red Sea? And what happened to them? Right on their trail was the Egyptians again, coming with their army, with all that they had, and fear seized them. And I want to look at the natural reaction that they had and the difference between their reaction and Moses' reaction and how God was there. Folks, we've got to get a hold of ourselves when emotions run low, or when they run high even, and get a hold of things. But the Egyptians pursued after them, verse 9, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea beside Pi-Hahiroth before Baal-Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. And they were sore afraid, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. That was the right thing to do. They cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. That was the wrong thing to do. Can you imagine after seeing all that God had just done? Can you imagine seeing that? I can't hardly imagine that. But knowing us as people, knowing the things that we ourselves, many of us here, most of us here, have seen God do and seen Him work and seen Him bless. And then some bad tidings come, some great thing. How is this? We're going to die in the wilderness. Didn't we tell you Moses before we ever left? Wasn't there any graves in Egypt for us? Why do we have to die out here in the wilderness? Now, you know, we have to get a hold of ourselves, don't we? Our will, folks, our emotions and our feelings. If we're going to go to heaven, we're going to have to put those aside and decide, I'm going to go at any cost. I'm going to live for the Lord, whether I feel up or whether I feel terrible. Whatever the case, I know God is able and willing to take me through. And you know, when we submit ourselves to Him, nevertheless, not my will. You know, we may feel like we have a will in this thing. Jesus had a, you know, He said, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But His will was completely submitted to God. I want to encourage us today to take our will. We're the keeper of it. There isn't anybody else. Even God will not take that place, and no one else can. We must decide in our own heart, I'm going to live for God, and I'm going to go through, and I'm going to do His will in my life, not my will. And that takes something that we have to decide, and it's not a one-time decision. We just simply have to decide, I'm going this way. I'm going to submit myself to the Lord. I'm going to find His grace. I'm going to seek His face until He speaks peace to me when I need peace. If I need something, I'm going to seek Him until I get it. And you know what? When we set our will like that, emotions and feelings become very secondary. And you know what? As soon as we get peace from the Lord about something, all our emotions will pile on board then, won't they? They're like sunshine friends. All of a sudden, everything piles on board. Hey, life is going to be good again. You know, isn't that the way it is? That's why we have to make them distant. We have to distance ourselves from them and submit our will to God. Lord, what would you have me to do? I just want to know your will, and that's all. That's all. And I'll do it. If I know that's what I must do, I will. Lord, help us this morning. And here were these folks in this place, and the sea was before them, and they were cornered up in this area, and here was Pharaoh, and what could they do? They didn't have any weapons. What could they do? Nothing. They could do nothing. But, folks, they had God. And listen to what they said. For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord's not only going to take care of this problem, but He's going to solve a really big problem for you. He's going to take care of this whole army forever. He's going to take care of this problem. Do you know that too many times we bail out at times like this and we throw up the flag? Too many times people do that. But do you know the Lord wants some folks that is in there that believes that God will help them? Ye shall see them no more again, no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Now, we don't have anything about what Moses said to the Lord. Did he cry to Him, or did God just see his emotion? Did he just see his feelings? Did he see where he was at in his desperation? And I'm sure he was crying out to God in his heart. But the Lord said, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speaking to the children of Israel that they go forward. Now, how were they going to go forward, folks? How was that going to happen? The sea before them, and they're going to go forward? I want to tell you something. We serve a God that has never failed one time. And folks, if we can believe, he'll take us through our battle too. Our battle's not bigger than this one. I don't think anybody here has a battle bigger than this one. And you know what Moses said? He told the people then. The Lord told him, go forward. Tell the people to go forward. But lift thou up thy rod and stretch out thine hand over the sea and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. Do you know what the Lord did? He put a big old cloud there, didn't he, between the Egyptians. And it was dark on their side and light on the Israelites' side. And God took care of them. I just want to encourage us this morning. Folks, we may feel like they did sometime in our life. Let's don't succumb to those things. Let's believe. Let's have faith in God. Let's submit our will to God. Lord, though you slay me, because that's sometimes what it comes down to. Job came to that place and he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. He believed that strong and he put his faith in God. Folks, if we want to go through, that's the kind of consecration it takes. Lord, whatever you allow into my life, I'm going to serve you. Yes, by the grace of God, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to do it. Not just out of the grit of my teeth, but I'm going to seek you until you give me peace. I'm going to seek you until you give me help. Until you give me direction. And don't we know the Lord will do that this morning? You know, I think about the story over here in Acts 14 and verse 7. Acts 14 and 7. And there they preached the gospel. And we find Paul here. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand upright on thy feet. And he leaped and walked. That was an amazing thing. I've seen the Lord do some wonderful things. I've watched it with my own eyes, but I will tell you, I've never seen this happen. This would be a really neat thing to see. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called Barnabas Jupiter and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein. Do you know that I know that we may see this as a nothing thing, but these fellows were on a pinnacle right here. God had done an amazing thing. And do you know that people sometimes listen to that, don't they? And we all know that before pride goes before a fall. And you know, they could have listened to that praise. But Paul was a man of God, and his will was, I'm going to serve God no matter what happens to me. If I'm up or if I'm down. And I want to look on at this story because it's so real to life. Here we find, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, well, Paul preaches to them there. And then in 18 it says, and with these sayings scarce restrained they the people that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch. Now this is the next verse. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people. And having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. That's the next verse. The verse before, it talks about them scarcely restraining the people from doing sacrifice unto them as unto gods. And the next verse says they stoned him. What happened there? That's just the way it is with people. You know, but Paul, none of these things move me, he said. None of those things moved him. Because his whole heart was to do the will of God in his life. And we find Paul, I want to look at the following verses because they're so amazing to me. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, you know, maybe he looked dead. This is it. Can you believe this? He rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel of that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Folks, if we're going to enter into that heavenly place, and we're going to walk with the Lord, and we're going to serve Him, and we're going to find heaven at the last day, we better take it upon ourselves and recognize it's going to be with much tribulation. It's going to be that there's going to be things that come into my heart and life that I'm going to have to deal with. That I'm going to have to decide with my will. Paul got up here and he just went to the next town and started preaching there. I'm guessing he was all bruised up. I'm guessing he looked bad. Because they meant to kill him. They thought he was dead. And they left him for dead. And he went right on. And he never missed a beat. And he preached the gospel to the next towns also. And so I think about that this morning. And I say, Lord, help us. That we ourselves will be people like that. That have our will solidified to the Lord. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. And you know what? When we get to these places and we've been giving our will all along, God isn't going to forsake us here and let us go. Now, if we've been living our own will and doing our own will, when the big one comes, we probably won't stand. But if we've been living for God in the little things, I want to tell you, when the big ones come, God will sustain us and He'll help us. Amen. If we continue to submit ourselves to the Lord. You know, I think about the scripture, 2 Corinthians 10. And we want to take this home with us, the scripture. 2 Corinthians 10 and 3. I know many of us know this well. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. I'm sure there was times that the devil told Paul he needed some weapons. But he didn't war after the flesh. He didn't fight those people. And folks, we don't either. It's not in a Christian's heart to do evil to their enemies. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do you realize how strong the weapons that we have are? Do you realize that these weapons that God has given us of faith and love and humility and the things that He has given us to use, those weapons, it says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You know, that's something that takes an effort on our part to bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. I was thinking about Brother Stanley, our pastor before. He used to quote another, it seemed to me like maybe it was Brother Clifford Wilson, that he said, every man has their besetting sin, something that if left unguarded, it could get you. Do you know this morning, we have to watch our feelings, our emotions, the temptations of life, and we have to learn where to run and where to find our grace and our help. Because God plans on us getting saved and giving our heart to God and being filled with His Holy Spirit, that we might walk in that, that we might be full of His goodness and His life. And He expects that to take us through, and to take us through temptations, to take us through emotions high and low, and feelings. And somebody tears us up to pieces. And probably in life, you've probably, many of us here have had that at some point or another. Maybe on your job, maybe with somebody. I will tell you, it can happen. And it can turn us bitter. Or folks, it can make us a lot better if we'll let it. The Lord wants to use those things. But only when they're submitted to God can He use them. Because when they're not, we become just like the world, don't we? And we allow the enemy. The grace of God. I heard last night Brother Darrell, he was over at Hoffman, he was holding a meeting there. You know, we heard that the grace of God brings not only favor, it brings power. Folks, the grace of God, when you look up the definition of it, it's not only that favor. It's not only that unmerited favor. Folks, it's power. It's grace. It's strength. It's help. And that's all in that, that God wants to give us. And so we have to guard ourselves. I was thinking about negative thoughts, temptations of the flesh, fears, troubles, things on the horizon, things we're not sure what to do, things that look bigger than us, all of those things. Do you know that if we are not careful, we can begin to make provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof? We can see those things before us and begin to handle it in a fleshly, carnal way. And I will tell you, it'll cost us our soul in the end when we start down that road. But if we will allow the Lord and humble ourselves to Him and tell Him, not my will but thine be done, Lord. I'd like You to change this. I'd like You to make that person quit saying this to me. But you know what? The Lord may not do that. He may instead make us better by it. He may make us a bigger person. He may make us someone that can help others with those kind of troubles. And the Lord loves to do that this morning. His grace is an overcoming, overwhelming. It is powerful. We was talking last week about greater is He that is in you. Much greater, folks, is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We want to remember that. We are not at the mercy of Satan. We are not at the mercy of what comes our way. We're not at the mercy of the troubles that beset us. We're at the mercy of the grace of God. And if we will seek that, folks, I want to tell you something. God Himself will stand in for us. I believe that. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. That's in Romans 13 and 14. You know, many times we see that happen. Somebody, their emotions, their feelings, their fears, they see the future. And maybe they have a situation that they know, if I take God's way, it's going to really cost me some grief and trouble. Do you know this morning? Those things are very real to us, and it may cost us some grief and trouble. And it may cost us a lot of grief and trouble. But do you know that if we'll humble ourselves to the Lord, I am persuaded that He'll open the Red Sea for us. He will work things out in ways that we never thought possible. Do we believe that this morning? I hope we do.
Amen.
I want to look at a scripture in James 1 and 22. It says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If any man be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. Do you know this morning, if we are just a hearer, if we hear the word of God, we like it. It's inspiring. The word of the Lord is inspiring to us, isn't it? But I will tell you, it goes down sweet. I'll tell you what. It's another thing to submit our will to the Lord and the things that we hear and know and see. And so when we go, and when the Lord, word of the Lord is given to us, whether it's in our devotions or a message or by someone else, I will tell you, if we will begin to integrate that into our life, Lord, that's your word. I'm going to have to pray 7 times here. I'm going to have to really pray until I see you make a change and until you help me. But folks, that's what we do if we trust the Lord. That's what we do if we believe the Lord. We submit our will to Him. And until our will is submitted and we have peace and we know that God is working and helping us, then we need to keep submitting ourselves to Him. And He's the one that gave us the illustrations of the unjust judge and the widow woman coming and constantly asking and asking and asking, and he didn't even want to hear her. But because she kept coming, she got her petition. Now, I don't believe God is that way. I believe He is working on us. He's working on our situation. He's changing us in the process. And we're coming, but He's telling us, you keep coming like that widow woman came. Because God is so just, and He's willing to help us in all of our needs this morning. Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only. Oh, I just want to challenge us this morning that we give ourselves to the Lord and let nothing stop us. I was thinking about the story. Maybe I'll go ahead and read that in Numbers 13 and 23. And we see another story here. And this is a group of people that God was calling to a deeper, to another place. And He was calling to a place where He had blessings that abounded. But they got their eyes. They felt the emotions of what if. They had the feelings of what if. What if these people are that much bigger than we are? And what if God doesn't help us? And have you ever had those feelings? Many have, I will tell you right now. What if? I will tell you, the Lord has something better for us to center ourselves on. Numbers 13 and 23. I'll read a little bit here. And they came unto the brook of Eshcol and cut down from thence a branch with one cluster of grapes. And they bare it between two upon a staff. It was so big and so much. And they brought of the pomegranates and of the figs. The place was called the brook Eshcol, because of the cluster of grapes which the children of Israel cut down from thence. And they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. And they went, came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel into the wilderness of Paran, to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. And they told him and said, we came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and by the coast of Jordan. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Hey, hang on, folks. Hang on. Wait a minute. Get a hold of yourself. Now think about what you're talking about here. You know, sometimes we need to still ourselves, don't we? And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once. Let's just quit talking about all these things that you saw there. Let's don't scare the people half to death. Folks, we can do anything God wants us to do easily. Those people be bread for us. Come on. Think about what God's done for us in the past. You know what? There was a couple of men there that believed God. Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went up with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. That was a true statement. They were stronger than they were. They were outfitted for war in a way that the Israelites were not. But they were missing one little piece of the equation. And that was that God was with them. Which changed everything. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, the land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of a great stature. That was a lie. Not all the people were. Just a tribe. Just a few were men of great stature. And there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which came of the giants. And we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so were we in their sight. And you know what? We know the rest of that story. Folks, they did not do the will of the Lord. And they spent the rest of their life wishing they had. They spent the rest of their life suffering for that decision. Do you know this morning, the Lord brings us into a lot of places in our life. I will tell you, we suffer when we don't submit ourselves to the will of God. This morning I want to encourage us to do that. Lord, not my will, but thine be done. He's not asking us to submit ourselves to something we don't have a clue as to what. He's asking us to submit ourselves to God. To the dealings the Lord has given to us. The Lord, they knew full well that God had told them from the start, I'm taking you into this land. And it flows with milk and honey. It's a beautiful land. It's something, it's your promise. It's what I'm taking you to. But they could not believe it and didn't and wouldn't and weren't allowed to. I think many times, folks, that's where I've seen people lose their children there. I've seen people lose their soul there. I've seen these times in these places. But I've also seen those that never flinched. And all the way, they said, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. And they came up to hard things and hard places. I have seen people like this. And they have been to me a light to help light the way to heaven. And I've watched them. And I watched them come up against those things that seemed earth-shattering. Seemed it would ruin their world and their life. And it didn't. And they would have served the Lord if it would have. Because they were set to do that. I want to read one more scripture reference here. In Acts 21 and 11. And when he was come, Acts 21, 11 to 14. Now here was Paul. And when he was, I'll start at 10. And as we tarried there many days, there came down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when he was coming to us, he took Paul's girdle and bound his own hands and feet and said, thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Well, that's pretty easy to take care of. Then don't go there. And when we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and break my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. You know, folks, that's the kind of people that have went before us. That's the kind of people that make it to heaven. That take their eyes off of the cost, off of the fear, off of the feelings, off of the troubles, off of what threatens itself, off of the realities of the sea that is before them. And they set their life and hope in God. And those are the kind of people that we follow. Paul said, I'm not only willing to go up there, folks. Don't weep and break my heart. I've already got my decision made. God wants me to go to Jerusalem and I'm going. Now I'm putting some words in there, but I can tell you he probably said something like that. I'm going to Jerusalem. Don't weep and make me feel bad. I'm not only willing to be bound and to be delivered to the Gentiles, I'm willing to give my life for it. Mm-hmm. Folks, that's who goes to heaven this morning. And that's who finds the grace of God. And I look at Paul's life, and I look at what he went through and what he endured. And I don't see a man deserted. I don't see a man living with his head down. I see a man that overcame every obstacle. I see a man that was in the sea, and his ship was destroyed. And they were fixing to kill the prisoners. But because that man of God, that light was on board, they didn't do it. And they were all saved alive. And I see him snake bitten. And I see him go before Caesar. And I see him before the authorities. And I see him in prison for years. And I don't see him with his head down. But I see him at the end of his way when he said, I'm ready to be offered. My time's come. I've got a good, I've lived, how does it say that? I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And now I'm ready. And he was looking forward to that. He lived his life that way. Folks, we might be in the valley today, but I want to tell you something. When God comes in, he brings light because there isn't any darkness in God. We just need to get a hold of him. He can bring peace in the darkest valley. He can bring light to the darkest place. I say these things with assurance because I'm not an old man, but I have seen the Lord do that many times, and I know he'll do it again this morning. The Lord bless each one of us. Take courage and take up our cross and fall on our knees and get peace and get grace and get strength from the Lord. And determine in our hearts, I'm going to follow him all the way. Whatever that means. I'm not even going to think about that, what the cost is. Yeah, I'm going to weigh it up like he said. I'm going to weigh it up and decide that whatever's out there that I don't know about, I'm going to do it. I'm going to pay the price. I'm going to live for God, set my feet in that way. And folks, the Lord will make us a man or a woman or a child of God. And we'll be a light in that dark place. And when others have no hope, and when everybody's going to die from it, it don't happen many times because there's a man of God on board. Because there's somebody that's willing to light the way. Somebody that's willing to say, the angel of the Lord spoke to me tonight. There's not going to be a hair of anybody's head perish here. You just take courage. We'll make it here. All of us will. The Lord bless each one this morning.